evening. The Secretary General will brief you on the North Atlantic Council meeting, and then he'll be happy to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good evening. We have just taken decisions to deliver 21st century deterrence and defense in the face of 21st century challenges. NATO has responded with speed and determination. We have already delivered the biggest reinforcement to our collective defense in a generation. We have tripled the size of the NATO response force to 40,000 troops, with the Spirit force at its core able to move within days. We have set up 8 new headquarters to facilitate training and reinforcements in the eastern part of our alliance, and we have augmented the defense of Turkey, the ally most affected by the turmoil in the south, with AWACS, surveillance planes, and defensive missile systems. We have also sped up our decision-making and developed strategies to deal with hybrid threats and complex challenges from the south. Today, we took the next steps. We have decided to enhance our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance with 4 battalions here in Poland, as well as Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania on a rotational basis. These battalions will be robust and they will be multinational. They demonstrate the strength of the transatlantic bond, and they make clear that an attack on one ally would be considered an attack on the whole alliance. And I am pleased to announce that Canada will be the framework nation for Latvia. Germany will lead the battalion in Lithuania. The United Kingdom will lead in Estonia, and the United States will serve as a framework nation in Poland. I also welcome that many other nations, many other allies, announced during our meeting that they will contribute in different ways. Our presence will be in place starting next year. This is an important step, but it's only one part of a bigger effort, including plans for a tailored presence in the southeast, built around a multinational framework brigade in Romania. Today, we have decided to declare initial operational capability of the NATO ballistic missile defense system. This means that the US ships based in Spain, the radar in Turkey, and the interceptor site in Romania are now able to work together under NATO command and NATO control. Importantly, the system we are building is entirely defensive. It is designed to shield against attacks from outside the Euro-Atlantic area and represents no threat to Russia's strategic nuclear deterrent. Today, we also recognized cyberspace as a new operational domain, joining land, air, and sea. This means better protection of our networks and our missions and operations, with more focus on cyber training and cyber planning. NATO's cyber posture remains defensive, but this is a clear sign that we are strengthening our collective defense in all areas. Allies have also pledged to strengthen their own cyber defenses and share more information and on best practices. NATO's security depends on all our nations being prepared. So today, allies committed to boosting their resilience, to improve civil preparedness, and ensure we have the right mix of capabilities to meet new challenges, including hybrid warfare. Modern challenges require a modern alliance, and they require the right resources. So today, we reviewed and reconfirmed the defense investment pledge made 2 years ago. 2015 was the first year in many years with a small increase in defense spending. Estimates for 2016 show a further increase of 3% across European allies and Canada. This amounts to $8 billion, and many allies are increasing the readiness and deployability of their forces. We still have a long way to go, but I believe that we have turned a corner. NATO possesses no threat to any country. We do not want a new Cold War. We do not want a new arms race, and we do not seek confrontation. As we strengthen our deterrence and defense, we continue to seek a constructive dialogue with Russia. Russia is our biggest neighbor. It is a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, and it plays an important role in security challenges in and around Europe. Russia cannot and should not be isolated. Furthermore, with increased military activity in and around Europe, we have an interest in agreeing the rules of the road with Russia. We need to make every effort to avoid miscalculation and accidents. The NATO-Russia Council is an important tool to manage our relationship in this new challenging security environment. I will convene a new meeting of the Council Wednesday next week to inform Russia on the decisions we have taken at the summit. NATO's greatest responsibility remains the protection of our almost 1 billion citizens. This fundamental fact informs everything we do. And the decisions we have taken today will help keep our nation safe in a more dangerous world. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
I'll ask you to introduce yourselves in your outlet. We'll start with Reuters. First row, please. If you could perhaps come forward with the mics, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin Nimmet from Reuters. Secretary General over here. Were there any calls in the room today to do more than just the four battalions and what you've just explained? And also, what more are you doing for Romania and Bulgaria? Thank you very much.
All allies expressed great satisfaction with the decisions we made today. And I think we have to understand that the decisions we made today about enhanced forward presence, about the four battalions, they are decisions that we take under or after a very thorough analysis of the needs. Our assessment that is that under the current circumstances, based on our military analysis and the military advice we have received, that this is an appropriate posture and presence in the eastern part of the alliance. I think also it is important to underline that the enhanced forward presence with the four battalions is an important element, but only one element of what we are doing. Forward presence is one thing, but the ability to reinforce, to deploy forces if needed, is another very important element of what we have been doing actually since our last summit. So as I stated, we have tripled the size of NATO response force. We have established a new spearhead force. We will have more pre-positioned equipment, supplies, more infrastructure, more exercises, more headquarters, more planning, and many other elements, for instance, intelligence, early warning, surveillance, and so on. So forward presence is important, but the ability to reinforce if needed is also important. And let me add that the forward presence is also important because it is a multinational forward presence, sending a very clear message about deterrence. An attack on one ally will trigger the response from the whole alliance.
Poland Radio, second row.
Wojciech Cegielski, Polish Radio. Secretary General, you mentioned that countries have stressed and contributed their soldiers into the battalion, apart from frame nations. Could you elaborate what kind of promises they made, the countries, on their soldiers being sent to one of four battalions?
I would say that practically all the nations made announcements to contribute in different ways. We have, of course, the four lead nations or framework nations, Canada, United States, Germany, and United Kingdom. Then we have the four host nations, which will provide host nation support. And then we have all the other nations, which will provide support in different ways. Partly, of course, to the enhanced forward presence, but also provide support to our enhanced ability to reinforce the WJTF, or the Spearhead Force, and the NATO Response Force. So this is an effort which all allies contribute to, and very many of the allies also made new announcements or announcements in the meeting today to contribute in different ways.
Lady over there, second row, third row.
Alina Koshik, Bielsa TV, Belarus. General Secretary, was Belarus question was discussed during the meeting today?
Sorry?
Belarus question was discussed today, and why Belarus delegation were not invited?
Well, this meeting is a meeting with the 28 NATO allies and Montenegro, which is very close to become a NATO ally. We have signed the accession treaty, and when that accession protocol is ratified in all the 28 allies, then Montenegro will become a member. So this was a meeting for NATO allies. Belarus is a country in a neighboring country of several NATO also of NATO countries. The important thing for us is to underline that the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of all allies of all countries in Europe is respected, and that also, of course, applies for Belarus.
Gentlemen over there, second row.
Thank you very much. Neeme Raud, Estonian Television. As Estonian official have described to me, this is a new reality. This is not an operation, this deployment. How long do you think it will last? There is no end. It's open-ended commitment.
It's an open-ended commitment, and it will last as long as necessary. So we haven't any date where we have said that this will end. And it is a new reality, because we didn't have that kind of presence in the eastern part of the alliance before. So this is something new. It's groundbreaking. It's based on very thorough military analysis. And what we do is actually what we were advised to do based on the military advice we have received. And I would also like to underline that no one in NATO really discussed or addressed the possibility of this kind of forward presence of NATO forces in the eastern part of the alliance before Ukraine. So this is a defensive, proportionate response to the actions of Russia in Ukraine, illegally annexing Crimea.
Rian Augustin? No. Gentleman over there. Yeah, thanks.
Vladimir Dabrowski, Russian News Agency, RIA Novosti. Secretary General, you just said that you want to discuss the measures taken today with Russia next week. And are you going to discuss as well the possibility to scale them back? And is it possible to scale them back, and under what conditions? Thank you.
I strongly believe in transparency, in predictability, to avoid escalating the situation and increasing tensions. Therefore, NATO has been transparent and predictable all the way. And one of the reasons why we believe that the NATO-Russia Council is important, and why the NATO-Russia Council was established as an all-weather forum to be used also when tensions are high and the situation is a bit difficult, is exactly for this reason. So dialogue is always important, but it is especially important now. And therefore, we will, as I said, use the Council to inform, update Russia on our decisions, because we are transparent, we have nothing to hide, and we will tell them to avoid misunderstandings, to avoid miscalculations, and to what should I say, contribute to transparency. I will not speculate on how long it will be necessary to have this kind of forward presence. What we have seen is Russia, which has invested heavily in modern defense capabilities over many years, which has modernized its forces, its equipment, and has used military force against a sovereign nation in Europe, violating Ukraine's territorial integrity and sovereignty. And that's the reason why we have increased our presence in the eastern part of the lands.
We'll go to the front row, Romanian media.
Cristian Nteanu, Adevărul Romania. Secretary General, please. The problem of the presence, naval presence in the Black Sea was discussed today, and how to strengthen the security for the countries around the Black Sea, first question. And second question, can you elaborate on the presence of this new multinational brigade in Romania? Thank you.
First of all, NATO has already increased our presence in the Black Sea region in the southeastern part of our alliance, both with air policing assurance measures in the Black Sea, but also in Turkey, with AWACS planes and defensive missile defense systems. So we have already increased our presence. Second, we agreed today what we call tailored forward presence in the southeast, and that is based on a Romanian-Bulgarian brigade, and that will provide a framework for extensive training of NATO forces, so it will be a multinational presence under this Romanian-Bulgarian brigade, and we'll then have more forces, more training taking place in the southeastern part of the alliance. Moreover, we also decided to ask our military planners to provide advice for our defense ministers in October to look into whether we can or how we can increase our presence not on land, because that will be provided with the brigade, but in the air and at sea. And several of the nations addressed the need for an enhanced presence at sea and in the air, but we will be more concrete about that at our defense ministerial meeting in October.
Okay. Gentleman in the front row here, in the middle.
Yes, Santiago de Brasillo with the Observer in Warsaw. Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. I have a question on Finnish and Swedish membership of NATO. Do you really think that it is possible to secure the Baltic Sea in the case of a crisis without these two countries being members of the alliance?
We have a very close partnership with Sweden and Finland, and we are developing that partnership. Sweden and Finland, the Swedish Prime Minister and the Finnish President will be present at our dinner tonight. We are exercising together with them. Sweden and Finland are participating in NATO operations, NATO missions. So we are enhancing and stepping up our cooperation with them, both in the Baltic region, but also in different NATO operations and missions. I will refrain from giving advice to Finns and Swedes on whether they should join NATO or not, partly because I'm Secretary General in NATO, and I will not be dragged into a debate in Sweden about whether Sweden should join NATO, and also because I'm a Norwegian. I know that the Swedes, they will, I know that I will not give them advice.
Okay. Gentlemen in the front row again.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Secretary General, after visit to Finland, Russian President have addressed Russian military Minister of Defense to work out the plan to ease the tension at the Baltic Sea and to make all the fighter jets to fly with the transponders on. So will it be an issue at Russian NATO Council next week, and is NATO ready to respond the same way? Thank you.
I welcome what seems to be an increased interest from the Russian side to address transparency, risk reduction, and air safety in the Baltic region. So I welcome that, and we also listen to the Finnish president tonight, where he can report and tell about his discussions with President Putin. We have only seen press reports, so it's a bit early to comment on the specifics, on the details. But we hope that we can have proposals on the table and that we can discuss them more in detail when we see concrete proposals. NATO has been advocating for measures enhancing air safety for a long time. One of the issues we discussed at our last meeting of the NATO-Russia Council in April was exactly the need for predictability, mechanisms for risk reduction, air safety. And hopefully we can also then discuss this at the NATO-Russia Council next week.
Thank you very much. That's all we have time for now because the flypast is soon approaching, but the Secretary-General will be back tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Thank you.